Welcome to the Giants Talk Podcast. Here's Alex Pavlovich and Cole Kuiper. I know those guys.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Giants Talk. I'm Cole Kuiper here with Giants insider Alex Pavlovich. We are almost there. The offseason is almost over, and this is going to be a great episode to transition you to the finish line. Sergio Romo checks in. Talk about his return to the Giants today, Monday night's game. Plus, Logan Webb sits down with Laura, Britt, and Alex to discuss this season and how he can get even better. We're 3 days away from opening day. Three is a retired number for the Giants, so not a lot of number three players. Bill Terry, shout out to Bill Terry. And Mike Sadek, one of my dad's oldest friends from his playing career. Shout out to Mike Sadek. But the big thing we got to talk about today, Alex, is the opening day roster. The moves seem to be pretty much set. Any surprises here? Let's break this down.
No, I think my main surprise is that we kind of know, and we've known since, you know, with certain guys we've known, with Sable, I think we've known for a couple weeks that this was going to happen. But it really became, I think, pretty clear when Farhan was on the broadcast last week, and then just in talking to him the next day and talking to Gabe over the weekend, like, they pretty much set their roster. And I think the surprise is that we don't have, you know, this isn't going to go down to the wire on Wednesday or Thursday. Everyone who's going to fly to New York is going to have a pretty good idea of what's going on. And I was looking it up, and remember 2019, they made a roster move with a catcher 3 straight days at the end of camp. They traded for Mike Yastrzemski at the end of camp.
Wow.
Connor Joe and Michael Reed came in out of nowhere. So it's, I think, maybe the only surprise for Giants fans would be that it's so set right now that it's kind of, and that's a good thing, frankly. I mean, it is, look, farm system is not where they want it to be, but the fact that you have guys like Sean Jelly and Bryce Johnson winning those jobs instead of scrambling at the end of camp, going like, hey, we're 2 outfielders short, you know, who just got cut from Tampa Bay's camp that we can bring in here for a couple of weeks. I think is a good thing and a positive sign. But it just to recap, I mean, Blake Sable, I think, is going to be an opening day on left field. He's on the team. He's been told he's on the team. You know, they'll go with 3 catchers. Roberto Perez won the backup job. Joey Bart won. I'm using air quotes.
Yeah. Joey Bart was the incumbent.
He survived camp. So it was, even though they put some pressure on him early on, and then Bryce Johnson's in the outfield as well because Mitch Haniger and Austin Slater are starting on the injured list. And the only decision, you know, as of leaving Scottsdale, and I haven't seen them since they left Scottsdale, but the only decision as of then was, do they go with 13 pitchers or 12 pitchers? Because they have 2 off days early on, and they have all these starters who are going to be headed to the bullpen as well. So Sean Jelly has almost certainly made the team, but I think there's a small chance that they decide, let's carry Brett Wisely instead and have an extra bat and an extra outfielder for that first trip. But they're pretty much set. And I think, you know, it's probably Jelly, Johnson, Sable is the guys who really won jobs in camp.
All right. I mean, the only surprise is that there are no surprises this year. So that makes things fairly easy. I do think the pitching situation on that first road trip is an interesting topic. So many off days, they don't need the same load, but I do get kind of bummed out not having Sean Jelly in the mix.
Well, I think he'll be there, but yeah, he's kind of the one guy they were sitting there going like, do we want to go with 12 pitchers? We'll find out. We'll see who's on those flights. But I do think it'd be hard to miss Sean Jelly if he's on that plane, but he had a really good camp. And earned a bullpen job. So he kind of earned that job that, you know, Luke Jackson will start on the 60-day IL and Sean won that role in part because Cole Waits got hurt and in part because Sean was really, really good.
And then we got to give a shout out to Casey Schmidt for bringing home the Barney Nugent Award. He's headed to AAA, but that award goes out to the newcomer who makes the greatest first impression, correct?
Yeah, it's the player in his first big league camp who was most impressive, and it's voted on by coaches, teammates. It's a funny one. There are a couple teammates who are like, was I supposed to vote on that? So it's not the most it's not the Willie Mack Award. It's not as organized, but you know, the guy who had the best camp in his first big league camp, and it was a pretty stacked field. There have been years where you're like, well, we know who's going to win the Barney Nugent.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one guy, and he's not even that good, but not a great camp. So I think this year was much different. I mean, Casey, Blake Sable could have won it. Bryce Johnson could have won it. You know, Blake was joking. He probably came in second there. He came in, he got beat out in the spring home run title. It's okay, Blake. You made the team. So
yeah, that's the true press.
Yeah, we have to get him on here. I think Giants fans are really going to like him once it gets known. Very, very talkative, which is good for a podcast.
It's perfect for us.
But yeah, Casey Schmidt had a really, really good spring. They brought him up for the Bay Bridge series, get him some exposure to bigger ballparks. And he mm-hmm. played on Sunday, and he will start the season, I think, pretty quickly. The season starts in AAA, so he'll be there with the Rivercats. And
we're right. Look,
it's going to be – I mean, a lot of this has to do with the guys in front of him. Does Crawford stay healthy? Does David Villar hit enough to hold down third base? I think it's going to be pretty quick. And I do – the more I've talked to people late in camp, I think if something happens where they need a shortstop, I think there's a lot of people who would say, let's call up Casey and let's just mm-hmm. keep Estrada at second base. And let's not, you know, you and I have talked about how we get a little squeamish when you start thinking about Estrada at second or Estrada at short, VR at second, JD Davis,
yeah.
third, Wilmer at
a lot
first.
Of ground balls going into the infield for these pitchers and not trying to put too many dudes out of position.
Yeah. You know, also a ground ball heavy staff. So I do think they're at the point now that if Crawford goes on the IL or needs some time, I think Casey will get a call at shortstop first.
Okay. Interesting. I don't know that that's how he imagined his big debut going, but you fit where you fit, Casey.
Yeah, he'll take it. He'll
take it.
And, you know, it's one of those we talked about early in camp. Like, a lot of people were like, he's potentially a Gold Glove winner at third. Why is he playing short? Well, he's potentially, you know, and now probably their second best defensive shortstop. So, he could be the next 10 years at third base. But if his way to get onto this roster in April or May is to play some shortstop, he does not care where he plays.
That's right.
He'll take that call.
We are right now recording this Monday morning in the middle of the Bay Bridge series, which signifies that spring training is on its last leg. How was being at the game on Sunday, Alex? I got to imagine the vibes playing spring training in Scottsdale. Else. Oh, you weren't there. Look, you're not going out of your way to go to the Coliseum.
I've made jokes about the Coliseum, and it is funny when you go for the Bay Bridge because usually they haven't done anything in the press box since, well, not now, but back in the day, like since the end of the Raiders season.
Oh, okay.
So you would find like empty bags of chips under your chair and be like, oh, this is from the last Raider game in December, and nobody decided to clean it up over the last 3 months. But it was not an anti-Coliseum thing. It's just the way camp was. Giants ending in Scottsdale on Saturday, and we're all going to New York tomorrow. So it very quick turnaround, and I think there's no way to avoid today when people are listening to it being a very long day because we have the play ball lunch. And who knows? They've announced some contracts there in the past. So and then Sergio Romo thing tonight. So it's not going to be your usual exhibition game. I mean, there's guys will leave those games in the middle of them. So this yes. is not going to be that, because whenever Sergio pitches, that will be the biggest deal of tonight and of the
last. Yeah, they're week. Really going to make that happen in the eighth or ninth inning, aren't they? Force us to stay to the bitter end.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out when's the best time to do that. It's not the ninth, I don't think.
No.
The eighth?
Seventh, I'd say.
Seventh or eighth is the best time, I think. Let him walk off, get his big ovation.
So you'll be there tonight, obviously, to see that in person, right?
Yeah, of course. And we'll have.
So Alex and I will both be at the ballpark. Feel free to give us a wave if you see us. I know the press box frowns upon you reaching your head in to say hi to Alex Pavlovich, but you know,
good luck trying to get that high. But I've thought a lot about the Romo thing. They should almost just end the game after that. Like,
I mean, we can apparently just end innings after two outs at this point. Why not? Yeah. End games in the seven.
Have them pitch the six and let's all go home. So everybody can go to New York. But yeah, it'll be it'll be a really fun one tonight.
It will. It will. I also want to circle back a little bit and talk about the Giants' new motto. They've run through a few over the past few years. It doesn't get more SF. Kind of seemed like it came back to bite them in the rear end. It became used almost predominantly as a meme to make fun of the Giants. I don't know if Giants baseball, nothing like it, will escape that usage as well.
No chance.
No chance. I can see it right now when the Giants hit into a double play with the bases loaded to end the inning. Giants baseball, nothing like it.
I'm telling you right now, if they make like three errors on opening day and this is similar to last year, I'm going to use it. Like it's, and I've told Giants marketing people to their faces, like, I get it's a hard job. You're trying to come up with a marketing campaign. Good for you. Just so you know, everybody's going to use this if things go wrong. So you better, you know, maybe the biggest motivation now for the Giants to win games in 2023 is not to turn this marketing campaign into a meme. And if you go underneath their tweets, whenever they lose a spring game or something bad happens, it's already turned into a meme. So maybe they don't, maybe all social media interaction is good social media interaction, but.
Yeah, I guess as far as the clicks team is concerned, that is a net win. But yeah, just it seems like they're walking right into one with that again.
I agree. I maybe would have saved that one for a year when you're more sure that you're going to win 88, 90 games. But also, you know, coming off that offseason, like pretty bold just to steer right into this.
Yeah, like if you like drama like that off season, welcome to be a Giants fan. There's nothing like it.
Did you see their promo video?
I didn't, but I saw the graphics package that's going along with this nothing like it, and I think that's very cool.
Their promo video made me feel really old.
Oh no.
I was, and I'm not, but I know they're going for like the TikTok crowd and
no. And, I mean, you have me imagining like Elliot Ramos doing TikTok dances.
Well, I assume that's what it was, like Austin Slater on a plate getting hit like he was a fly, things like that. Like, I assume that was TikTok-y. I don't know what else it would be. So
we're too old, man.
Someone explain it to me. I watched that and I was like, what's going on here? Also, he went on the IL, so why are we hitting him like he's a fly? So anyway.
All right.
Someone needs to explain that one to me.
All right, I want to hear what Sergio Romo has to say about him coming back. You and I dove into this multiple times on this podcast so far. I'm sure we're going to try to have Sergio Romo on to talk to the two of us, actually for the pod, full on over the next few weeks, months. Anything we got to know going into this Sergio bit?
Well, just very quick, I talked to him on Saturday, and I think, you know, for me, the emotion was so clear in his voice, and the gratitude was so clear that we'll have a full story up, but wanted to run that audio here as well so people could hear from Sergio. And yes, we will have him on. That could be a 3-hour podcast because he's enjoying talking about his career. And anytime he talks about his career, you just kind of sit around the campfire and go, yeah, tell some stories. Yeah, but here's what he had to say about Monday in particular and the fact that he'll get to say goodbye as a Giant.
I was blown away that they drafted me in 05. Uh-huh. I was blown away that they kept giving me opportunity after opportunity through minors. You know, I wasn't necessarily the sharpest tool in the shed. You know, I black sheep a little bit more so that I understood, misunderstood in a little way, in a couple ways. But yet they still had faith in me. And then I get called up and it was almost like they never doubted what was showing up. Regardless of what I put out, regardless if I had a great day, a good day, an average day, you know, bad day, not so good day, you know, they always seem to have an image of me and a certain faith in me that I belonged. And then after 9 years when I left, that was a hard pill to swallow. You know, I wanted to kind of be like Kane, you know, where you get drafted and play your whole career from minors to the top, you know, and I would have liked that to have happened, but, you know, as it turns out, I was meant to play for 8 different teams. but they still think I can do this, even if it's just for an inning, you know, after not preparing, knowing that I haven't prepared and I haven't done much, and physically I'm not where I would have been if, you know, I did joke around town and why didn't you call me 4 months ago? I'm okay with this decision, you know, and I'm thankful that they're giving me this very special, very unique opportunity to not just give me a day, you know, to throw a first pitch and to tip my cap and, you know, try to show some gratitude to the fan base, and but to actually toe the rubber. Like, I know most people don't understand when I say I don't know what I did to deserve this. You know, I sincerely mean that, just more so for the fact that I understand how special this opportunity is. I understand, you know, what the teams that I was a part of and what we were to accomplish, what it meant to the fan base, you know, and I understand that. It's just still, it's just things are unexpected. And it's that much sweeter, I feel, because it is something that I didn't expect, that I didn't, you know, see happening. The surprise factor on all of this, it's that's probably the most humbling part about it. It's just crazy, man. It's really nutty to think about it.
So there's Sergio. I'll say, I haven't talked to him, you know, very emotional for him right now. I think there's no doubt there's going to be a lot of tears on Monday night. Your dad said on the broadcast on Sunday, mm-hmm. there's going to be tears in the booth. So it'll be a fun one. And I hope it goes well for him. And, you know, I hope he gets a chance to walk off and enjoy it. And you kind of look at it like it's been so 2008, like it's pretty incredible. And I've said this here before, like he's one of the main guys where when you meet him, and I'm sure a lot of Giants fans have met him, you just kind of, and he would tell you this as well. Like it's incredible. It's miraculous. Like he's so slight and just so unassuming. And then the guy who threw the final pitch of a season. So
yeah,
it's the amazing thing about baseball is you can meet this guy who's like 160 pounds dripping wet or whatever it is. And he can be the best player in the world for certain moments.
So let's talk this Monday night appearance. What is the best case scenario here? You, Sergio Romo striking out the side against the A's?
I think this is probably one of those where you get two outs and then you walk off.
Yeah, just like the Giants and A's did yesterday.
Let's see some swings and misses on the slider. And just like they were practicing for this. it is weird because he literally hasn't prepared for this at all. Like he was joking. He's like, this is great. I'm so grateful. I can't believe they let me do something like this to say goodbye. And he's like, I joked with the front office. Like, yeah, I wish you had called me 4 months ago and let me spend the whole offseason preparing. But he's physically not really prepared for this, but I also think Sergio could roll out of bed and flip some sliders up there. So
fantastic.
We'll probably see that. I think that's the best case. And hopefully, you know, hopefully the A's understand what's going on. I think they do. He pitched there as well. Yeah. Although probably some great moments with the A's gone. So
you remember his dropping his pants for the ball inspection bit?
Yeah. He's made an impact in other places.
It's like classic.
I think the best case is just him getting to say goodbye in a proper way and getting to walk off. And let's play that music one more time.
El Mechon, that's what's up. All right, Sergio Romo, can't wait to see him Monday night. Giants fans, it's going to be must-see TV, even better if you're seeing it in person. But we do have one more bit on Giants Talk here for you. Logan Webb sat down with Laura Britt and Alex Pavlovich to discuss this season. How's Logan feel going into opening day, Alex?
It was an interesting conversation. I mean, a little bit about last year, and he's been very open about they needed more of a chip on their shoulder and needed to be more competitive. And then, you know, with people know this from Twitter, Logan's a huge Kings fan, huge Raiders fan. Yeah. So we had some fun with him. I hope people enjoy this. This is your opening day starter, Logan Webb versus Garrett Cole and Aaron Judge and their top prospect shortstop. And it'll be pretty wild on Thursday, but hopefully this prepares people a little bit. And then Thursday we have Gabe Kapler coming up. So if you have not subscribed, you know, this is the time to do so. So you wake up early Thursday morning and have that.
Let's go.
We continue to get you ready for the Giants season. Logan Webb joining us now, your fifth season in the bigs with the Giants. You're a veteran around here. But you got a lot of new faces in the clubhouse this season. So six new teammates that Giants fans need to get to know. Let's go through them and tell Giants fans a little bit about each of these guys. Okay, we're going to start with Michael Conforto.
Bad golfer.
Most important.
Yeah, that's the most
really, important. He's the best left-handed swing and he can't golf.
So he drop kicks every drive. I don't know why he does it, but every time he's Mike's. I've gotten to know Mike a little bit over the past 2 years. Kind of some mutual friends, and I love the guy. He's awesome. Like I think Giants fans are gonna really, really, really love him. And you know, watching him swing is actually quite impressive. Yeah. Like I think he hit a ball yesterday. Right? It didn't really look like he swung very hard, and it went over the batter's line. I was like, how'd you do that? I mean, and I'm super excited. Excited for him. You know, finally healthy again, and I think great for the clubhouse.
And he seems like he's really going to get back to missing all of last season. Mitch Haniger is up next.
Yeah, he's the same sort of thing. I think he missed a decent amount of time.
He's also a bad golfer.
No, I haven't golfed with him yet. I've not golfed with Mitch yet, but he's, I'm super excited to see him. I know he's really, really worked his butt off to get healthy, and I know he's super excited to. I think he grew up a Giants fan. I haven't talked to him about it yet.
Sure.
But you know, NorCal guy, so you gotta love him already. And Cal Poly too. I was supposed to go to Cal Poly, so I've been able to talk to him about that a little bit. And I'm just super, like I said, super excited, super fun dude. Works his tail off also, like you. It's been fun to meet both of those guys.
You said there are a lot of Bay Area guys in the clubhouse. We were talking to Mitch about Jock Peterson and playing football. We're trying to get some kind of like route running set up. So hopefully we can get that going. Yeah. All right, Ross Stripling.
Another guy, you can just tell. So the first person that texted me when we signed him was Gosman. And God was like, you're going to love this guy. Like, one of the best teammates you ever had. And then what he said and Jock said, and it's true. Like, he is one of the nicer guys I've met. And you can just tell with his work he does, like, every day. It's super, you know, polished. It's super professional. And and also nasty, so it's like that's also fun to watch. He's gonna be a big part of, you know, what we do this year.
People in the Bay Area know Sean Manaea for his extended time with the Oakland A's. Of course, he was with the Padres last season, but getting to talk with him up close and getting to know him, what have you learned about Sean Manaea?
I've learned that he is he's probably the best, like, clubhouse guy you could possibly get. Like, he is happy all the time. He is, you know, always trying to do fun, new things. I think last year, you just look at the Padres, they started doing, like, a picture, a Polaroid. And I think that was Sean. That was Sean that started. And that's just the type of guy he is. He's so outgoing and so, just such a, like I said, such a good clubhouse guy. One of the nicest people I've ever met, and I think he's really excited to have a bounce back year and, watching him throwing his pens. I know he's been going to Driveline this offseason, and he's excited.
Well, they're the relievers. Luke Jackson. Also, these guys are all kind of characters.
Yeah, they are characters. And that's what's so great about, you know, the guys that we brought in is they're all just great clubhouse guys. And Luke Jackson is... with very, very funny. Always cracking a joke. Always, he's just like that salty, like, veteran reliever type guy. That's just, you know. But he's, I know he's coming back. He's been throwing pens at Bondi. But what's been really cool is, like, when you look down on the railing when guys throwing live BP or, you know, out in the bullpens, he's always sitting there watching guys and, like, trying to talk to guys and learn guys and, and that's pretty cool. You don't see that very often. And I think, him and Joff are like two peas in a pod. You just watch them kind of go back and forth. It's great. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time so far with Luke Jackson, and I can't wait to, you know, lead teammates with that guy.
you've known Tyler for a long time. Taylor Rogers, what's that been like? What should Giants fans know about him?
Yeah, Ty likes to like take little like kind of like jabs at me a lot. He has a lot of dad jokes, like little like, and he thinks they're the funniest.
He's a dad.
I know, but Tay is the exact same person, like the exact same. We did this meeting earlier in the off season, and like I was talking during the Zoom. It was with the team. Both of them just texting me like at the exact same time, like making a smart ass kind of comment. And it was, I'm just like, you guys are the same people. And, I love Ty already, but you guys know I got a good relationship with Ty. So, if he's anything like his brother, I think, yeah, I'm going to love Tay too.
Giants fans are going to have to tell them apart. Can you tell them apart? Any tips on that?
So, I don't know what it is, but they have a facial kind of expression when they're just standing there that you can tell the difference. Once you see them for more than 3 or 4 days, you kind of notice it. I still think in a uniform it's going to be hard, obviously lefty and righty, but when they're both standing in the bullpen, you might be like, you know, that's hard to tell the part.
Start throwing.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yeah. One of you start throwing.
Yeah. When you mention these guys a lot, with just about all of them, you're like, good dude, good clubhouse dude. And one thing you said to us at FanFest is, like, I want good vibes this year. I want this to be a group like 2 years ago. How do you make sure that you have that throughout the season?
You know, it's hard because throughout the season, you're always going to have ups and downs.
Yeah.
You're always going to have times when, you go through a rough patch and... sometimes you go through no rough patches. In 2021, I think we went 10-3 on a road trip, and we were like mad about it because the Dodgers went 12-1. It was, and the kind of creating that, like you said, the good vibes. I think when you get a group of guys that can kind of laugh their way through, or like not laugh their way, obviously, but like still have a good time during the hard times. And you bring guys in, that makes the best team, I think. And it's just easier to win every day. It's easier to come to the clubhouse every day and like just be there for the guys. And I think they've done such a good job of bringing in the right guys to be that. So we already had a good core group of guys. And I think when you bring those guys in, and also you add some of the younger guys that might be coming up this year, I think it's gonna be very fun. It's going to be very exciting. We're going to hit a lot of home runs. We're going to, pitch our butts off, and we're also going to have fun while we're doing.
At what point in the season do you get a sense if it's a good vibe team or not? Is it when you face adversity for the first time, for the seventh time? When is that?
I think it's now, to be honest with you. I think it's in spring. Being around the guys, I think you just kind of get a sense of, like, do these guys gel, right? Like, I love watching the hitters, right? The outfielders are all out there, and they're all, like, messing around and laughing with each other. The pitchers are doing the same thing. I think when you start that already early, like, I think that's when you really know, like, this is going to be a good group. And we've had that so far. So I was very excited about that. Something similar to what we did in 2021, I would say, like, is just having fun while we're doing this, right? We're playing a kid's game. We're doing PFPs. We're taking ground balls. Pitchers are taking ground balls at shortstop, like, just messing around. Like, have fun while you're doing it. And we're doing that and have, like, a big time.
With the team gelling and the new faces, it does seem like there are a lot of good personalities. There are a lot of Bay Area guys, like we said. Yeah, how has everybody meshed over the spring so far?
It's been great. I think baseball's weird because there's so many connections already, right? And it seems like there's already some connections with, like, some of the outfielders knowing each other from either playing against each other or something. And I think for the pitchers, it's been the same sort of thing. You got like Stripling already knows Jock and Woody and Sean already knows some of these guys. So it's like, it's already just like, we're in there already. It's not, you're meeting new people, but it's also like, you've already met them. And that makes sense. I don't want to sound like too hippie-ish, but it's like,
it's a small world.
Yes.
What you gonna
do? Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it just feels like I've known these guys for a lot longer than, you know, 2 weeks, so, or a week and a half. I don't even know how long it is, but it's been really, really, really good so far.
I want to ask you about yourself. You had a 2.49 ERA last year, by all accounts, a very good season. And you said at the end of the year, like, I don't really love my season. And you said that this spring as well. You're like, not thrilled with my year last year. What are your expectations for yourself this season?
I got some high expectations. I got to try to keep them to myself a living bit. But
you can tell us at the end of the year.
Yeah, I'll tell you at the end of the year. Yeah. But I think it's not only my expectations of myself, but it's the team's kind of expectations of me. And I'm excited to, you know, try to fulfill those expectations, not only for them, but for myself. And it's going to be, you know, I'm really excited about, you know, there were some changes that I think I needed to make a little bit in the off season with my kind of my mechanics, my delivery a little bit, just to sustain a little bit longer where I'm not, you know, going through months like I did last year where, it was just a grind. I think the velocity fluctuated a lot, and that's something that we really wanted to dive deep into, and, found out it was some looking at the things. I don't think you'll really notice it when you're watching me out there, but I feel it. I notice it. So I'm super excited about the changes I've made and feeling really good. So
at the end of last season, you mentioned that the team got complacent. Is there a way to prevent that? How do you do that?
I think in 21, we kind of went into spring. We went into just a season with like, we're going to win the West. We're going to prove everybody wrong. We're going to win the West. And I think last year we were, not that we weren't, trying to win or anything. We just didn't have that same like chip on our shoulder. Hey, let's prove people wrong. I think we thought we were, the same team that we were in 21. And we could have been, but I think maybe if we like kind of looked at it as like, hey, we did that. Let's prove some people wrong. Let's prove that, we should be a 100-win team every single year. Maybe didn't do that as much as we needed to. And I think going into this year, it's like, okay, kind of get back into that mode where it's like, we've got to have a chip on our shoulder. We're not going to, we got to just go out there and kind of kick some ass. Like, honestly, like, go out there and, I guess prove people wrong, I think. Especially with the teams that you have in the division. Yeah. And I think that was our mission, right? That was our goal in 21, just, beat those guys.
You mentioned Young Praise, who could help. You've become close with Kyle Harrison, and Giants fans are very, very excited about Kyle. But for you watching him behind the scenes, what excites you the most about what he can do in his career?
I think he's just so mature, right? He's like, I don't know if you got to watch his live EP the other day, but I thought it was pretty electric. Like, he's throwing it by guys. He was throwing great pitches. Like, and he came off the mound. He was mad about it. He didn't like his live EP. He was kind of pissed off. Like, didn't like where he was landing pitches. And I'm like, dude, I feel like I'd probably do that too, which I like about it. So I'm like, for me, it's his like competitive like nature that kind of gets me fired up. But I think it's like, always trying to get better, always trying to, like I said, I thought he did it's his first live BP and his first big league camp, and he's nervous and he did great, and he's mad about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, that need to want to be perfect. That's a good thing to have. And I think Giants fans should be excited about that part of it.
I want to briefly take you back to the offseason. Take the end result out of it. with all the big names. Did you enjoy recruiting? Was it fun for you just being in that position as a team leader and somebody that they say, hey, we want you here with Aaron Judge to try to convince him to come here?
Yeah, it was kind of last minute. They told me about it, and I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I would love to come. And, Kral was there too. I think he's actually in Disney World. So I think he had to leave his family a day early to go see Judge. But it was, it was fun. I had a blast. It was awesome to meet him and his wife and his parents, and to be able to sit there and talk to him. And he was a big Giants fan, and he talked about that, and getting to talk to him about kind of growing up in Northern California with him and Kral was pretty cool. So it was a privilege to be able to be like, hey, we want you here, we want you to talk to him, obviously end result with what we wanted, but hopefully next time I can get a better result.
Yeah.
Change is coming this season. Pitch clocks, bigger bases, limiting the defensive shift. How has it been for you with the pitch clock so far in spring?
It's fast. I already kind of worked pretty quick, so it's not going to affect me too much. But it's just knowing it's there makes you want to work even faster. So it's like...
Do you find yourself glancing at it?
Yeah. I did last yesterday. I threw a live BP, and I don't know why I was looking at it. It was just like, you feel like you're going almost too fast sometimes just because you know it's there. And then it's like you get into, it'll be interesting to see with longer innings and stuff, right? It's just going to speed up and speed up and speed up, because it already does speed up when you're getting to those positions, and now you add that. It's going to be a big change, I think. And all the guys have kind of felt that in their while doing it. And I think it's going to take one or two outings to really get used to it, I think. And, maybe it might take getting a ball called on you to really know what 15 seconds is like or 20 seconds is like. So it's a big adjustment. It's a big adjustment for everybody. The shifts as well is the same thing. I think I was the third most balls saved by the shift. So it's going to be a big adjustment for me, I think. I just got to strike more people.
Well, even your Kings are doing it this season.
Yes,
they're doing it. They're going to make the playoffs.
We're not there yet, but we're getting close. They got a big
third in the West right now. Yeah. You're safe.
Yeah.
You've been... You're a fan through the ups and downs with the Kings. How sweet is it now to see them having success?
It's really cool. It's such a good, it's so fun to go to those games too. And I think Sacramento deserves a little bit of, it's been 16 years? So I think there's a different type of energy. There's a different type of, I think when I bring up these culture changes, right? That's what the Kings did. They had to, bring in new guys. They had to bring in a new, I'm not saying we need to bring in. Now I'm going back to what I take that. I got off. I'm just kidding. I was just saying you just watch them. They look like they're having so much fun, right? They got the chain after the games. And they're doing all these fun things. And it's like, let's do that. It's exciting for me because I get to see that. And I'm like, all right. Let's bring those good vibes. Let's bring those the having fun sort of thing into our clubhouse. And I think when you just have fun, then you got a lot of talent. Anything's possible. So
you need a beam in the clubhouse.
Yeah,
we will light the beam after wins.
I think I'll talk to Larry about getting the beam outside Oracle.
You can do it. I'll finish with this. You are a Kings fan. You're also a diehard Raider fan. As we're sitting here at the end of February, you don't have a quarterback. So this will be a bit of a time capsule here. We'll run this in a few weeks. Who is your prediction for who's going to be your quarterback this season?
I don't know. I think I would like it to be Rodgers. Either Rodgers or drafted quarterback, I think. I don't know who's going to be available at 7, but we'll see. I think
sound very hopeful.
I don't... I don't know who it's going to be. I think it could be a couple of different options. I think Jimmy G's a great option, too. You guys have seen me tweet about Jimmy G before. Like, I think the dude wins, and I think he'd probably bring that winning mentality to the Raiders if he was coming. But I think if I had my choice, Aaron Rodgers is kind of an easy choice, right? He's Aaron Rodgers, so we'll see. I mean, I don't know. It could be something crazy. I thought Tom was going to come, then he retired, but, you know, he might unretire at some point. You never know. Well, that guy.
This is why you make predictions. You could be right, and if you're wrong, who cares? Yeah. So we will check back with you in a few weeks on the Raiders quarterback. We'll check back with you at the end of the season.
Sounds good.
And ask, did you hit your goals? But Logan, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.